Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Somebody hurt me outside. Walking already. I like that. Good to be here again. I hope Brian's back next week, because I got plans to be somewhere. I'm sorry. But if you turn your Bibles again to John chapter 3, one of my favorite. I guess I don't have any favorites. The whole Bible is my favorite. But I like this story about Nicodemus who came to Jesus. Nicodemus means, his name actually means victor over the interesting. If you ever do a name study, even in Genesis 5, all those names that are mentioned, they tell a story. What their name means tells a story. And here also we find that Nicodemus, his name tells a story. He was victorious over the people. He was had risen up to a very high office. And the scripture says in John 3 verse 1, there was a man of the, I'm reading from the New King James this morning, usually used English Standard Version, but today I think you use the New King James.
I'm like, I use yours.
Pardon?
I like yours the best.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, let's read it again. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, when you know who Nicodemus is, he's a Jewish leader. He's one of the Pharisees. The Pharisees are the most conservative branch of the Jewish religion. They're so conservative, they made the Mishnah, which is a law book that is written in order to keep you from even reaching the point where the law of Moses speaks. You know, if it says you can't do any work on the Sabbath, it gives you regulations to keep you from doing anything that might cause you to sin. And so Jesus condemns them for their book, the traditions of the fathers, and says, you know, you put burden to them. And you know, you don't eat with unwashed hands. I don't know a scripture in the Bible that says you have to wash your hands a certain way before you eat. But the Jewish leaders came up with that. And Jesus condemned them for following doctrines of men rather than the word of God. And so Nicodemus, he is mentioned three times in the New Testament. Here in John chapter 3, he's also mentioned in John chapter 7. And that's where the Sanhedrin, which is the Jewish high court, they want to kill Jesus. And Nicodemus speaks up and says, isn't it against our law to condemn someone before we have tried him and found out what he's doing? They then lashed out at Nicodemus. He said, are you from Galilee too? No prophet ever came from Galilee, they say. But that's true. I mean, that's not true. Jonah came from Galilee. Nahum came from Galilee. Many other prophets, Elijah possibly came from there, and so did Elisha. And so it's not true that no prophet ever came out of Galilee. As a matter of fact, when Dana and I have been there three times to Israel, and I learned the first time we were there that Capernaum, we call it, the city where Jesus lived. Kapur means village, and Nahum is who the village is named after. The village of Nahum, Capernaum. So there are prophets up there. He's also mentioned again in John 19, verse 39, where he comes with Joseph of Arimathea to take the body of Jesus and prepare it for burial. He comes to Jesus by night, and he proclaims, Rabbi, we know. We know you are a teacher come from no one can do these signs that you do unless God be with him. You see, Jesus had a ministry of miracles also. Look at, in my Bible, it's right across the page, in John chapter 2, verse 23. John chapter 2, verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. Many saw the signs. Jesus had a ministry of miracles. He went out and healed people, gave back sight to the blind, opened up the ears, and touched the tongue of those who couldn't speak. He lifted up the people who were sick. And when they saw this, they said, wow, this has to be from God. No one can do these signs except God be with them. And I'd like to point out, Nicodemus says, Rabbi, we know. Wait a minute, Nicodemus, who are you saying knows? According to what we read in the Bible, didn't the Sanhedrin, you know, the court that Nicodemus was a part of, didn't they all not believe in Jesus? No. Many of them did. Take a look at John 12 and verse 42. John 12 and verse 42. I don't think Nicodemus was alone. Of course, Joseph of Arimathea was a believer in Jesus. And he also was of this Sanhedrin. Verse 42, and it says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues. And so there were many believers. Nicodemus said, I'm not the only one, Jesus. He says, there's many of us, but we know that you are a prophet sent from God. Jesus answers him in verse 3. And he said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, this was strange to Nicodemus, because in verse 4, Nicodemus answers and says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, let's stop for a minute and consider, what was the mindset of the Jews in the first century? What was the way they thought? How did they think? I don't know what you said, but okay, amen. I don't know what's going on, but how did they, what did they see when they heard about the Messiah? This is difficult for Nicodemus to understand, and probably many of the Jews. Number one, you all know this, they were looking for a military leader who would come and drive the Romans out, lift up the Jewish people, and make them the ruling class. Number two, they were already the children of God. They didn't have to do anything to be saved, just because of who they were. Because they were children of Abraham, that's the only birth that mattered to them. But Jesus says, you got to be born again. Nicodemus says, how can this be? When you're old, can you enter your mother's womb and be born again? No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a spiritual birth that they have to go through. Look at verse 5. Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, you've got to be born of water and the Spirit. Well, wait a minute, I'm a Jew, Nicodemus might have said, and all the Jews probably thought this way. We're saved simply because we're descendants of Abraham. There's only one birth that matters in our lives, and that's an earthly birth, and that you are a member of Abraham's descendants. That's the only birth that matters. That's what a Jew thought. And now, Jesus has showed up, and his message is for the Jews too. You see, the Jewish people thought the Messiah would come and exalt them, and together they would rule the world, driving out all their opponents, all their adversaries, all their enemies. But no, Jesus is telling the Jews, you've got to repent. You've got to change. You've got to become a spiritual person. Check this out. Does the Old Testament talk about this spiritual change that is going to come into the world when Jesus, when the Messiah arrives? Take a look at Isaiah 44. Turn there with me. Isaiah 44. And we want to read verse 3. The Old Testament says about that spiritual change that the Jews and every person on earth is going to have to go through. It says, 44 verse 3 of Isaiah, "For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants." God had told the Jews, there's going to come a time when I'm going to do these things. And one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to pour my spirit on your descendants, meaning it wasn't going to happen in their day, but someday in the future. Take a look at Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. And listen to what it says here about this spirit coming into the lives of people. It says in verse 36, "I will give you a new heart, and pour. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my commandments and do them." Question: should Nicodemus have been aware of a new birth, a spiritual birth? You must be born of water and the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus goes on to talk about this spiritual birth that you got to go through. I want to read, what verse am I in? Verse 6. "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." And in other words, flesh can only give birth to flesh. Abraham can only give birth to flesh. On the other hand, there's a new birth. "I'm going to pour out my spirit," he says. "I'm going to put it within you. You're going to have to go through a spiritual change, because what is born of spirit is spirit." And every one of us has to go through this. Every single one of us, even the Abraham. Now you're telling Nicodemus, you got to go through a new birth, a new kind of birth, a spiritual birth. Verse 7, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus still doesn't catch on. He answers and said to him, "How can these things be?" You talk about a misguided person. Nicodemus didn't even know how these things could be. And Jesus says to him in verse 10, "Are you a teacher of Israel and you do not know these things?" No, he didn't. And all of the Jewish leaders didn't know these things. They had to learn these things. Brethren, there's people in the world today, they're not Jews. They have no connection with Abraham. But they are the same way. They don't know they need to be born of the Spirit. They live their lives in this world. We're good people. We pay our rent, we pay our bills, we give to the poor, you know. We smile at the people in the stores and wish them happy holidays, you know. We don't steal, we don't commit adultery, and well, good. Law keeping is good. We need to keep the law. We don't need to become legalists who say, because I keep the law, I now deserve my reward. We gotta realize God and its grace. God's grace, God's love, God's mercy, God's gift. Every good gift comes from our God and Father in heaven. We don't earn it. Salvation, we don't earn it. Jesus earned it for us, but we don't earn it. We just take advantage of it. And you have to be born again. Even today, we can't get to heaven without being born again. The Jews said, we're Abraham's seed. That's all we need to be saved. Take a look at John 8:33. Bring your Bibles to John 8:33. Abraham's descendants. That's all we need to be. At least that was the Jewish mindset. John 8:33. And listen to what it says. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you'll be made free? Look at verse 39. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. You would believe like Abraham believed. You wouldn't be allowing these things to happen to you, to us. Look at Matthew 3:9. Matthew 3:9. And it says, and do not think to say to yourselves, Jesus speaking to the Jewish leaders, do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. You see how much they relied on having Abraham as their father? He says, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. There's nothing impossible for God, the Bible says. And Abraham's descendants could be made out of stones if God wanted to. He could make that happen. And so this man, Nicodemus, is gradually getting a grip, I think, on what Jesus is trying to say. Even though he's a teacher of Israel, he doesn't know these things. Verse 11, most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Jesus is now declaring to Nicodemus that because he's so worldly minded, he wouldn't understand. If I tell you earthly things and you still don't understand them, how are you going to understand heavenly things? The message Jesus just shared with them, you must be born of water and you must be born of the Spirit, that's a heavenly thing. That's a message that came down from God. It came from heaven. It's a heavenly thing. But all Nicodemus can see is his physical birth. Wow. Man needs to change. We need to change. Amen. We need to see that we don't have it all right. Jesus then says, he's trying to justify who he is, I think. He says, no one has ever ascended into heaven except the one that came down from heaven. The Son of Man, that's me. I know about heavenly things, he's saying. What we have seen, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all the realm of heaven, what they have seen, they're telling it to you. Won't you receive it, Nicodemus? What's going on within you? Keep reading with me because we're going to get to that once famous verse. Look at verse 14. And as Moses was lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You remember that story about Moses and the bronze serpent? It's found in Numbers 21, verse 9. Serpents that came in started biting the people because they were not following God's will. God didn't take the serpents away, but he gave them a way to be healed. Moses built, or had built, a serpent. Somebody built a serpent, bronze, and he put it on a pole, and he stuck it up there near the camp. And anyone that was bitten, who had the faith to go and seek out, and Jesus said, the Son of Man must be lifted up like the serpent was lifted up by Moses. That's Jesus on the cross. He will be lifted up. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. For whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you notice that the New King James says, whoever believes in him should not perish? Some of these modern versions say, whoever believes in him shall not perish. Whoever believes in him will not perish. It's my understanding that the Greek word there should be translated should not perish. Because even though you believe in him, you could still be lost.
Yeah.
Even though you believe in him, if you're not born again, and that's a thing that I see in the world all around me. People believe in him, but they have only prayed the sinner's prayer. They've never been buried with Christ bury the old man that you were and rid yourself of that person. And then when you come up out of the watery grave, after you've made contact with the death of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was dead when the soldier pierced his side and blood and water came out. That's when his blood, I know it was shed all the way through the crucifixion ordeal. But when the spear pierced his side and it said blood and water came out, separated our baptism when we're buried with him, when we're burying our old self, come into contact with the blood, get this new spiritual life going on within us, and rise up to walk in that new life, just like Jesus rose from the grave. It's a beautiful story when you piece it all together. Nicodemus, you're going to have to go through this. If you want to be an apostle, or if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, he couldn't be an apostle, but he could be a disciple. A saved individual. A saint, if you will. But he has to understand physical only gives birth to physical. Don't claim Abraham as your father. Spiritual gives birth to spiritual. Claim God as your father. And so we're going to offer an invitation at this time. If you're here today and you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, realize that if all that has ever happened to you is you were born into this world, and you think that's all you need to be, that's what Nicodemus thought. I was born into this world, that's all I need to be. I'm right with God because I'm of the family of Abraham. No, it doesn't matter what family you're from. If you don't go through a physical birth, but he's talking about baptism here. You got to be baptized to have your sins washed away, to rise up to walk in newness of life and become a spiritual individual, not a physical. Born of the Spirit, God becomes your Father. If you're here this morning and you need to become a Christian, we're going to sing this song of encouragement. And if you will, step out of the aisle, come down and talk to us. We'd love to get to know you and get to understand your situation. And hopefully through the scripture can guide you to what you need to do.